I pray that you would go before me and open the hearts and the minds, Lord God, of those that are here tonight, that they would receive you, Lord God, in a new way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight I'm going to open up with Hebrews 11 and verse 11. And it says, through faith, you can stand for it's just one verse. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful. You can be seated this morning or this evening. Thank you for standing for the word of God. It says that Sarah judged him faithful. Who had promised? Sarah judged God faithful. You see, had God had come to Abraham and Sarah and told them that they were going to be the promised nation, that they were going to have children and their children's were going to have children, and they were going to have so many descendants, as many as the stars in the sky and the sand of the sea. But you see, it took an awful long time for them to have even just one child. To have even just one child. And it actually wasn't until Sarah was so old and barren in years, past the point of being able to have a child, that she actually became with a child and had a son that they named Isaac. And Hebrews 11 is telling us that it was through Sarah's faith that she was able to receive strength to conceive a seed and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him. That's God. Sarah judged God faithful to hold on to his promise. Now tonight, what I want to ask you is, are you judging God faithful? Are you judging God faithful? And I think most of us would say, well, yeah, we're judging God faithful. If I were to ask you, you believe that God can do the impossible? Who in here would raise your hand and say, yes, I believe that God can do the impossible? Many. It's easy for us to say, yeah, I do believe that God can do the impossible. How many in here tonight would raise your hand if I say, how many believe God will do the impossible? Because I'm telling you, there's a difference between having a can mindset and there's having a will mindset. And I'm telling you right now, church, that we're not seeing miracles because we're living in the land of can. And I'm tired of living in the land of can. My God is faithful. My God is willing. My God is more than able. And it is his desire to pour out his miracles upon his people and upon his church. And the truth of the matter is, we're hindering that. Why? Because we know that he can do them. But when he asks us to take a step of faith, we don't trust that he will do it. I want you to grasp that tonight. Think about the difference between can and will. If you think about can, you think that, well, it could happen, right? Maybe. It's a possibility. God's able to do it if he wants to do it. Anybody like it when you ask your parents a question and they say maybe? No, right? Because usually if they're like, maybe, that probably means a no is coming later, right? And so when we put God in the can mindset, we're inputting doubt into our hearts and into our minds. Because we believe that, yes, our God is all-powerful. He is the creator of the heavens and the universe. But when we believe and we think about if he is going to impact and touch this specific circumstance in our lives, we move into a place of can. And think that he can do it if he wants to do it. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God's promises are yes and amen, and he wants to bless you. He wants you to be in the mindset of will. He wants you to proclaim the fact that you will be healed. He doesn't want us to live in the land of can. He wants us to live in the mindset of will. You see, when we say something will happen, it's absolute, right? You can count on it. You can take it to the bank and cash a check, right? If something will happen, it means that there's a determination. It means that it's inevitable. It's a command. And man, if God commands it, you better be getting out of the way, because there ain't nothing stopping it. And that's the mindset that he needs his people to start taking. Because here we are, we're standing down and we're weak and we're feeble, and we come to this altar and we say, oh, please, dear Jesus, I know that you can do this for me if you would just please move. No, that is not how he wants us to approach his throne. He wants us to approach his throne in the power and authority that he has given us. We are to come to the throne and say, dear Lord God, you said that I shall be healed, and I am healed today. You see, there was a man in Matthew in chapter 8 in verse 2, and he was a leper man. He was a man that had leprosy. And so this means he had a horrible, awful disease where his skin would change colors. And as the disease would progress, his fingers would fall off, his toes would fall off, his teeth would fall out of his mouth, and his face would be deformed. Leprosy was a horrible, awful disease. And people were not allowed to be around lepers because it was against the will and their laws, but not Jesus. And you see, on this day in Matthew chapter 8, a leper, he came before Jesus and he started to worship him. Man, when we're in a place of faith, it really starts with worship. This leper came before Jesus, and it says in verse 2 that he worshiped him, saying, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Shoo! Man, this man was living in the land of Can. If you want to, God, I believe that you can do this. I believe there's not a person in this place that hasn't had that thought. And let me just tell you, I'm preaching to the choir tonight, right? We can get to a place where we've prayed so long that we just, man, Lord, if you would just please, I know that you can. If you would, I know that you can. And that's where this leper man was tonight. But man, you look at verse 2 and see what it says. It says that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, thou be clean. And immediately the leper was cleansed from the man. Immediately the leper was cleansed from the man. Can I just tell you tonight that Jesus is saying, I will, to your need? Can I tell you tonight that Jesus is not coming with a can attitude, but he is coming and he is saying, I will heal the sick. I will give sight to the blind. I will let the deaf hear. The lame will walk. The dumb will talk in the name of Jesus tonight. It will happen. Why? Because Jesus wants it to happen. There is no question of if. There is no question of can. It is God's will to be done. Listen, we're too much coming with this man's leper mentality, asking God a question. No, we're supposed to be coming with worship and thanking him for what he's already done, because we know it's going to happen. That's God's will. In Thessalonians, it says it's God's will that we would come to him with a thankful heart. And the only way we can come to him with a thankful heart is if we've got our mind set on what God's will is. And if we're standing on the promises that are before us. Jesus said, I will heal the man. And if he said it then, he's saying it today. His words don't change. It's everlasting and true. So if Jesus said it then, he is saying it today. Yes, I will. You see, we act under the new covenant. That means that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and I, and the laws of the old are past and gone. And we have the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that means that we can walk around with a will mindset. You see, 2 Corinthians tells us that God's promises are yes and amen, not for our glory, but so that God can receive the glory. His promises are yes and amen because he wants to be glorified in our lives. He wants to bless us. He wants to be magnified. He wants to receive our worship, our praise, our thankfulness. Do you know that there were 17 times in the gospel where it says that Jesus healed all the sick? That means that there was a multitude of sick people there. And 17 times in the gospels, Jesus healed them all. Not one left without being healed. Do you know that there's 47 other times in the gospel where just one or two people came to Jesus and needed healing? Do you know what he did for those 47 people? He healed them. Do you know that you will not read not one time where Jesus turned somebody away? Not one time did Jesus refuse his healings. Not one time. In fact, he said that it was nothing that he could do by himself, but he could only do what he saw his Father do. You see, Jesus' actions were proof enough that it is always our Father's will to be healed. It is always our Father's will to be forgiven. It is always our Father's will to be blessed, to be prosperous, to live in love and unity. That is always our Father's will. You see, we are called to come boldly before the throne of God. Boldly before the throne of God. And you might be sitting there thinking, man, I'm not going to tell Jesus what to do. I'm not going to tell God what to do. No, God wants us to come in his authority and to use his power. He didn't give us his power not to be used. He gave us his power to be used so that he could be glorified on this earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means that his power and authority is here today so that his will that is for us in heaven, we can have some of right here on this earth. But we've got to start claiming it. We got to start walking in the will of God. We got to start standing in his promises. When Jesus sent his disciples out, he did not tell them to go pray for the sick. Jesus told his disciples to go heal the sick. Jesus told his disciples to go preach. Jesus told his disciples that he had given them power and authority over the enemy, over Satan, over sickness. And you know what the disciples did with that power and authority? They went out and they healed the sick and they cast out demons and the blind saw and the lame walked. We have that same power and authority. But we're not using it. Why? Because we're living in the land of Canaan. Because we're not judging God faithful. But man, it is his will to bless us. If? No, there is no ifs. Jesus said, yes, I will. That's what Jesus is telling somebody here tonight. Yes, I will deliver you. Yes, I will heal you. Yes, I will free you. Yes, I will save you. Yes, I will forgive you. Yes, I will bless you. That's God's will. You see, James 4 says that we have not because we ask not, and we receive not because we ask amiss. But I think it's more than that. Sometimes I think it's not that we're not asking the right thing, it's that we're not asking the right way. We're not asking with a heart of faith. We're not asking with a heart that knows that it is God's will to bless you. And so we're falling short and we're not receiving what God wants to give us. Listen, you know how we come boldly before the throne? It's when we take a step of faith. When you want something from God, I'm going to bet that he's going to ask you to show a little faith. If you want to be blessed in your finances, God's going to ask you to give an offering. Because that's going to put you in a position where you're going to be stretched just a little bit. Right? But you can give to that offering because you know that it's God's will to bless you. You might want to see a miracle, see somebody healed. And God says, well, go to the hospital and start praying for the sick. Well, you're not going to see that person healed until you get off your butt, you go to the hospital, and you start praying for the sick people. We come boldly before the altar when we take steps of faith. See, I love this about Abraham. I love this about Abraham. In Genesis 22, we just saw Sarah conceived and had brought forth a son, Isaac. And so many of you know the story that God went to Abraham and he said, Abraham, offer your son as a sacrifice, as a sign of obedience to me. Okay? And in Genesis 22, in verse 5, he's standing there and he's got his servants with him and he's got his son with him. And he turns and he looks at his servants and he says, servants, you guys stay here. My son and I will go ahead to the mountain and worship, and we will return. Abraham knew that when he got to that mountain, he was supposed to offer his son, but there was not a doubt in his mind that God will provide for his need. They get to the top of the mountain, and Isaac, his son, starts looking around, and he's like, Dad, I don't see a lamb anywhere, right? All I see is the wood and the fire, and I mean, Isaac's probably got to start sweating, right? And Abraham said to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. I mean, he was asked to take a step of faith in quite possibly the hardest request that a man could ever imagine, to lay his own son down on an altar for our God. And Abraham never lost his focus. He said, me and my son will return, and God will provide a lamb. That's how we get to the next level, church. Romans 4:20 tells us that he staggered not from the promises of God through unbelief, but it was through a strong faith giving glory to God. You see, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was also able to perform. Man, Abraham bet his son's life on it. Bet his son's life on it, that if God promised it, he would perform it. You see, steps of faith don't rest on our ability. Steps of faith don't rest on what we can do. In fact, it's quite the opposite, and that's why I started with the scripture of Sarah. Because you know what? In Sarah's own strength, she couldn't have a child anymore. Right? And so often we get to a place where there's physically nothing we can do anymore so that we can fully rely on God. But we don't have to get there. The reason we have to wait to get there is because we're living in a can mindset. If we can start this walk of faith in a will mindset, we don't have to wait until that final crossroad. We can continue to move forward right where we are. You see, Abraham believed so fully that he was able to take steps daily toward that promise. Steps of faith that God was going to provide for him and provide for his promise. You see, in Matthew 17 and verse 21, the disciples are here with Jesus. And let me just say, this is after they've already been sent out two by two and they've performed their own miracles. And they've come back together and they've been ministering with Jesus over the last, you know, few months, weeks. And there comes to them a man whose son is possessed by a demon. And the disciples are unable to cast the demon out. And so they bring the son to Jesus, and Jesus rebukes the demon, and he is cast out. And later on, the disciples, they come to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, why were we not able to cast out this demon? And Jesus said to them, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you that if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move, and it shall remove hence yonder place, because nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. You see, the disciples had just witnessed all of these miracles. They had been walking with Jesus. And somewhere along the way, they lost their focus. They lost their sight. They lost the power and the authority that Jesus had given them just a few months before. And when they were faced with this circumstance, it seemed bigger than what they could handle. And they found themselves in a place of unbelief. They found themselves in a place of doubt. Might I say they found themselves in a place of can. They knew they had done it before, right? They had seen Jesus do miracles before of this kind, many of them. But they found themselves in a place of doubt. And I believe that's where so many of us are today. We're staring down a circumstance that we know God can move in. We know He's the God of the impossible. But what we're wavering on is if God will. If God will. You might be in here tonight thinking about a step of faith that the Lord has asked you to take. Because He's promised you a ministry. But to be able to get to that promise, you got to take a step of faith. And you know that God can see you through it, but you're just not sure if God will. But I'm here to tell you tonight, like Jesus, His response is, I will. His response is, I will, time and time and time and time again. I will. You see, it's this deeper level of faith that He's asking His servants to start walking in. We've got to begin to start walking in the promises of God. But can I just say, you can't walk in the promises of God if you don't know what the promises are. You can't walk in the promises of God if you don't know what the promises are. You see, I do think there are times, like James 4 teaches us, where we ask amiss, right? Because we're asking according to what our flesh wants. Or we're asking with such a can mindset that we're not able to see the bigger picture of what God really has in store for us. But when we ask according to what the promises are in His word and in His truth, His answer is, I will, every single time. Do you know that I Googled the other day because I just wanted a quick something to be able to include in here? I just Googled, share me a list of the promises of God. Google returned that there is over 7,000 promises of God found right here in this scripture. So if you think that your need has not occurred in the past and couldn't be found in this old, outdated word, let me tell you, I'm sure one of the 7,000 promises that are found in here will fit your need. But you got to be willing to find it. You got to be willing to claim it. You got to be willing to profess it. God's promises, He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will strengthen you and uphold you. He will rescue you. He will be your guard. He will fight on your behalf. He will fight on your behalf. Anybody tired of arguing? Dear Lord God, I don't want to have this argument anymore. I thank You that You are fighting on my behalf. Praise Jesus. It's done. You know why we can live a life of peace? It's because we're walking knowing His answer is yes and amen. You want to live a life that's thankful? It's because you're walking knowing that it is His will to get you to His promises. It's when you live in that land of can and that land of doubt that you become stressed out, that you become worried, that you become tired, that you become weary. Do you know that he'll give you guidance and direction for your lives? That he'll deliver you from all your troubles? Do you know that he will give you rest, that he will give you victory, that he will give you peace of a mind and a heart? That he will give you joy? That he will keep you from every disease? Listen, you don't even have to be healed because he's going to keep you from every disease. I'm just going to testify for a minute. I don't know that there's not been one person up here on this pulpit that hasn't been sick over here in our choir. Me. You know why? Because I said, God, you will keep me healthy and strong. Because I said, God, you will keep me from disease. Because I don't have time to get sick. Amen? That's the mindset that we've got to have. But we're walking around in this mindset of what is. And God tells us not to call things as they are, but what they should be. God tells us to call things as he sees them. And according to him, that is as it is in heaven. If the team wants to go ahead and come to the music tonight. Listen, kids, especially the kids. I want you to know that you've got a Father in heaven. A Father in heaven that loves you very much. And that may be hard for you to understand. That may be hard for you to comprehend. But when you go to this Father that's in heaven and you ask him to meet your needs and you ask him that his will would be done in your life and you ask him according to his promise, he is a Father that will give you more and abundant than you can ever imagine. God does not fall short on his promises. How much your Father here on this earth would bless you, even so much more would your Father in heaven bless you. And if you can start to walk in the power and the authority that Jesus has given every single one of you today, as teenagers, if you can begin to understand the word and the promises that God has spoken over your lives, you guys can truly move mountains. You guys can truly change this world. I'm standing here tonight because I've decided that I want to be a world changer. I'm standing here tonight because I'm tired of the mundane. I'm tired of living in a can mindset. I'm tired of questioning whether my God is faithful. And I'm standing here tonight and saying that miracles are on the way. Healing is happening in this house. Blind will see in this place. The lame will walk. The dumb will talk. Not because of me, but because of my Jesus.